Muhammad Aleph, and we're going to be taking a little bit of a different approach this week, and we'll see how that approach goes. As always, we're open to comments, suggestions, positive or negative afterwards. But Tehillim, much like life, is a roller coaster of emotions. Last week, we did Kapitel Lamed, and before that, the Kapitel Chav Tes leading up to it, which were made for the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash. Right, so we truly were dealing with David HaMelech at his height of ecstasy and praise of Hashem. And Chav Tes was sort of an introduction to that, and last week, I think those of us who were here last week will remember that that truly David HaMelech, if you can say such a thing, outdid himself, right, in his praise of Hashem. This week, in Lamed Aleph, David HaMelech wrote this kapitel dealing with many of the extreme oppressive situations he found himself in. So on the Mefarshim are not clear on exactly which situation prompted this kapitel. It's something to do with Shaul and David, which is a theme, of course, that we've addressed many times before, and at one of the points in the conflict where David HaMelech found himself in a very precarious position, he wrote this kapitel. Please, come in.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. This is Shaul. This is Shaul Shema.
Yes, we met, she was here last week.
Yeah,
last week.
Oh, good. Okay.
So we're going right away from last week to the heights of David HaMelech's praise of Hashem to David HaMelech's depths of, as close as David HaMelech comes to despair. David HaMelech's conflict with Shaul, although only a few years long, was very intense, and David HaMelech was nearly killed many times, and David HaMelech had the opportunity, as we discussed, to kill Shaul and never did so. And during one of those oppressive periods of time where things looked as bleak as they could look is when David HaMelech wrote Kapitel Lamed Aleph. Now, Kapitel Lamed Aleph is a little bit longer than all of the Kapitelot that we've been dealing with so far. It has 25 Pesukim, and most of the Kapitelot so far have been in the 10 to 14 Pesukim range. So 25 Pesukim is a lot for us to do in one evening. On the other hand, I also want to keep to our idea of doing at least a kapitel every week, because we could do a pasuk every week and we could be here for a very, very long time. So what I'm going to try and do with this week's kapitel is we're going to try and hit some of the highlights, and I might not go into quite as much detail on each pasuk as we've been doing in the past. And then you can give me feedback like, that was great, that was horrible, whatever suggestions that you have. Let's start off with Pasuk Aleph. L'manatzeach Mizmor L'David, for the conductor, a song by David. Right, so the conductor is literally the conductor. There is a conductor. The Levim sang these kapitelach from the steps of the Beis HaMikdash. And in between each pasuk and each kapitel, the Kohanim played the horns, the instruments, and this is really for the conductor. However, most of the Mefarshim say that the conductor is really a metaphor for Hashem. That for the conductor, L'manatzeach, is really David's way of alluding to the fact that it's for Hashem, and that this is a particularly meaningful kapitel to him. So first off, in the Melech says, "B'cha Hashem chasisi, in you Hashem I've taken refuge, al evosh ala'elam, don't let me be shamed forever, but tzidkasecha palteini, and in your righteous liberate me." Now he says that in you Hashem I've taken refuge, and what he's referring to is the fact that he followed Hashem's instructions unflinchingly. When David HaMelech was pursued by Shaul, he left Eretz Yisrael. And he was content to stay in sort of a self-imposed exile until Shaul would come around to be in a more agreeable frame of mind over this. Nonetheless, God the Navi came and told him that Hashem wants him to return to Eretz Yisrael. So without questioning, without flinching, he returned to Eretz Yisrael, if I can mix up my Sifrei Tanakh, walking into the lion's den, so to speak. So therefore, he says, B'cha Hashem Chasisi, and you have taken refuge. I followed your instructions unflinchingly. Don't let me be ashamed, and in your righteousness protect me. He says, Hate alai oznecha, incline to me your ear, Mehera hatzileni, and quickly rescue me. Yeli litzur ma'oz leves mitzudis lehoshieni. I'll go on this passage here. Lean your ear to me, and rescue me quickly. Rescue me quickly. Actually, I'd prefer a slow rescue while my enemies beat me with stones. What is a quick rescue? David HaMelech asked to be saved many times. He wants to be quickly rescued. What he means is rescue quickly. Just rescue me. I'm not even asking that you deal with my enemies. When David HaMelech refers to a quick rescue, he means, you know what? Rescue me and leave my enemies for another day. All I ask is that right now you rescue me. Hayei li litzur ma'oz, and be for me a rock of strength. David HaMelech is saying here that he wants Hashem to be a rock of strength against his Yetzer Hara. David is concerned that the oppression that Shaul is putting on him is going to lead to him not treating Shaul properly. This is, basically what we're doing is I'm collecting various different Mephorshim and sort of distilling it into what I'm telling you right now. So,
okay. The
source for that conclusion is Ibn Ezra and the Radak. So David HaMelech is concerned about the fact that while he's under such pressure, he doesn't want to harm Shaul enough. You're not supposed to kill a king. That's a big rule. Right? Amongst other rules, one of the rules about the king is you don't kill him. Right? However, Shaul is trying his darndest to kill David. And David wants only to do the proper thing and treat Shaul correctly. Yet he's afraid that because of the oppressive nature, he's hiding out in a cave. It does. The physical grueling oppression that he's being put under, he's afraid that he won't treat Shaul properly. So therefore, he says to Hashem, "Hayei li litzur ma'oz, I want you to be my rock and my strength." David HaMelech is speaking to everybody, right, who has to deal with the Yetzer Hara of how to treat people. David HaMelech oppressed doesn't really begin to describe what Shaul is doing to David. David HaMelech is a king anointed by a Navi. That you don't really get much higher than that. Right? Yet Shaul HaMelech, in his jealousy and in his depression and in his willingness to follow advice that he shouldn't be following, is making David's life a physical and mental torture on a day in and day out basis. Yet David HaMelech's tefillah is, help me to treat Shaul properly and not to waver in treating him with perfect derech. Now, how many of us did it even daven for such a thing, let alone do such a thing? Right? If you think about all the times that we go through life and everything that happens to us, on a daily basis, most people encounter something that they weren't treated right, they weren't given the proper information, they were oppressed, and whether it's in business, whether it's in finance, whether it's by a family member, people are always being treated in an improper manner. David HaMelech's first response when Shaul is treating him in an improper manner, is to daven to Hashem that he not have a Yetzer Hara to treat Shaul improperly. Hayei li litzur ma'oz. You have to help be my rock and strength, Hashem, because this is a difficult issue that I'm dealing with here. Leves mesudis lehoshieni, and a fortress to save me. So a fortress surrounds a person on all sides, correct? David HaMelech realizes that his danger here is not just physical, but it's spiritual, it's ruchnius as well. Because two things could happen. Shaul could kill David, or David could kill Shaul. If Shaul kills David, that's about as much physical danger as a person could be in. If David kills Shaul, David feels that will be the end of him from a ruchnius standpoint. To kill a Melech Yisrael something that he wants desperately not to be forced into doing. So he doesn't tell Hashem just to save me. He says, save me like a mitzvah. Save me like a fortress. Save me from the physical problems. And save me from the ruchnias temptation. So be my rock in dealing with Shaul HaMelech. Surround me so that he doesn't kill me and that I can deal with him properly. With complete Derech Eretz. Complete Derech Eretz means that there are hundreds of men right now coming with spears and bows and arrows whose sole goal in life is to put all of those spears and bows and arrows through your heart. And David HaMelech wants to make sure that he doesn't slip in his Derech Eretz to Shaul HaMelech. Derech Eretz, I'd be grabbing my own bow and arrow and going, David HaMelech wants to make sure he doesn't slip in Derech Eretz. So Hashem surround me, protect me physically, and make sure that I don't suffer. I could win and lose, said David HaMelech. We can win the argument and lose the life battle. Many times we get on the phone with customer support from the electric company and they've messed up another bill or the phone company again, and you really give it to them. And you, at the end, they give you your $20 credit and you won. Says David HaMelech, you didn't win, you lost. Right? You won the battle, but you're losing the war. Says David HaMelech, you need the protection from physical dangers and you need protection from spiritual dangers. Hegeli Yitzur Moz, be for me a rock of strength spiritually, with base mitzudis l'sheini, and surround me so that I have no physical dangers as well. And it says, Kasali umitzi dasi ata, you're my rock, you're my fortress, ulaman shimklan, for the sake of your name. Tancheni usnaleni, guide me and lead me. David HaMelech often feels that perhaps his merit is not sufficient to be saved. Now we look at David HaMelech as an example of a tzaddik gadol. But of course David HaMelech, being a relatively modest person, did not see himself as a complete tzaddik. So therefore he'll often ask Hashem, you know what Hashem? For your own sake, for your own name, so that it shouldn't be Achil Hashem that your anointed king is killed, save me for your sake. Because honest, it's the Eini Meresh Zu Tamnu Li. Remove me from this net that they have concealed in me. The next page, Kiata Ma'uzi, my stronghold. This net that they have concealed for me. David HaMelech's enemies were constantly not only doing physical battle, but battling him on the information front. So we think that we invented today the information front with radio and TV, right? Shaul HaMelech had the patent on this 2,000 years ago, right? They told everybody, you know what, David? Okay, yeah, he could be a little king, but who was that Rus lady he was descended from? Are you sure he's Jew? You really ought to check this out. And we talked before about Achitophel and the people and Doeg. And Doeg, who led the charge against David HaMelech, was the head of the Sanhedrin. We're not talking about people here whose words were taken lightly. And even though in the end they were punished for this, he's saying they wrap it like a net around me. Even when they're not coming to get me, they're coming to get me. I go into the marketplace. David, hi, David. That's almost as bad as being killed. And he says, don't let that happen. B'yadchav ki ruchi, in your hand I entrust my spirit. Padiso si Hashem kel emes. You redeem me, Hashem, the God of truth. Sarnesi hashoimrim havle shav. I despise those who await vanities without worth. That is a rough translation here. So Nasi Hashorim Mahavle Shav. I don't know, worthless trifles, vanities without worth. I will go with the Art Scroll translation for right now, but Vani Al Hashem Batakhti, and Hashem I do trust. Show me, who are people that waiting on these worthless vanities? He says, you know what? What do most people do when they're in a tough situation? They try and find out what's going on. Even Shaul HaMelech turned to astrologers to try and find out what the future held for him. David HaMelech says, you know what? I despise those people, Hashem. Because no matter what, I have never sought any kind of advice or clarification from anybody except Hashem. I didn't seek advice from astrologers, from seers, from professional war planning experts. says David HaMelech, I only seek advice from Hashem because Hashem is the only one in which I trust. Now, how many of us, what's the first thing that we tend to think of when we can't figure out what to do about something? Well, we need to seek advice in this matter from an expert. So who's the only expert David HaMelech says we need to seek advice from? His age. Fortunately, people have a tendency to seek advice from all kinds of sources. Well, you know what? My friend told me this, and my legal advisor told me this, and you know what? I heard that when so-and-so had this problem, you know what he did, right? And the next, and a lot of interesting information gets passed around that way. Says David HaMelech, you know what? That's all havle shav. That's all just ridiculous trifles. The only person that can give you, Kaviyachal, that can give you advice is Hashem, and it's Hashem that I trust in. And he says, Agila ve'esmacha b'chasdecha, and I'll exult and rejoice in your kindness, Ashera Isa es anyi, that you've seen my affliction, yedata b'tzaros nafshi, that you've known the troubles of my soul. David HaMelech is comforted knowing that Hashem is with him. I spoke once before, actually probably a few times before, about the fact that David HaMelech didn't see his communication with Hashem as something that happened at certain times or when he davened, but that Hashem was with him all the time. And that brought a great deal of comfort to him. You know, in our society, we're all modern and we're technology and we run a mile a minute, right? And sometimes we've lost sight of the fact that, you know, for all the things we, you know, people like to use Europe as an example of all kinds of things. Well, in Europe they did this, and in Europe they did this. But one thing you can for sure say about Europe is that people felt the closeness to Hashem. When you put your bread in the oven, and you're talking to Hashem about how your bread's going to come out, that's what David HaMelech is saying. I'm rejoicing in your kindness. You know of my troubles. And you know of my soul because you're with me all the time. I don't wait until, oh, at Shacharis, I'm going to talk to Hashem about this. Boy, is he going to get an earful tomorrow morning at Shacharis, let me tell you. That's a David HaMelech. No, I'm comforted by the fact that he knows my soul all the time. He says, V'lo hisgartani biyad oyev, and he's not delivered me into the hand of the foe, he'maratav v'merchav ravle, and you've made stand in a broad place my feet. Just sort of that's a way of saying that he's been successful. David HaMelech, even though he's in a physically very difficult spot right now, is the most successful Jew in the country. He's been anointed, and nobody thought he would do it. When Shmuel and Avi came, and none of the sons of Yishai fit the bill, he said, is there anyone else? And they said, well, there's David, but we didn't even bring him, because he's a shepherd, he certainly couldn't be the right guy. But you know what, David, Hashem said, yes, he is the right guy. So he put my feet in a broad place. So you put me here, Hashem, so you wouldn't put me somewhere if you couldn't handle it.
Put all over to a strong base, because a broad base is more secure than a narrow
could
base.
Chaneni Hashem kitzarli, favor me, Hashem, for I'm distressed. Asasa b'chas eini nafshi vitri. I'm wasted away in grief, my eyes, my soul, and my belly. Right, so he's wasting in grief. What is his grief? All he tries to do, David HaMelech, is all of his actions are done in perfect innocence and ease. Yet, they have consequences that are unexpected. For example, when he killed Gullius, so the women sang a song. What song did they sing? Shaul HaMelech killed thousands, and David HaMelech killed tens of thousands. This did not please Shaul HaMelech. So all David was trying to do was what Hashem wanted. He was saying, listen, Hashem, I'm distressed. I'm wasting away in grief. I'm just trying to do what you want. Kicholu v'yagon chayai. For my life is spent in sorrow, usnoisai v'anacha, and my years in sighing. Tishalba v'ayni kaychi. And because of my own sins and my own lack of strength, the atzmai sheshu, my bones are wasted away. So David HaMelech feels that
perhaps he doesn't have the merit to be victorious. That's a constant refrain, that he's concerned that whatever merit he had, he may have used up. And because of his iniquity, he may not have any merit yet. But then he goes on to say, Mikol Tzorai Hayisi Charpa, because of all my tormentors, I've become a disgrace. And my neighbors especially, and a fright to all those who know me, and those who see me outside move away from me. David HaMelech has become an outcast. When he walks in the shuk, people talk. He's talking about the fact that he's a disgrace to his neighbors. Who are his neighbors? His neighbors are all the Jews that have abandoned him. When David HaMelech, son of Shalom, revolts, a significant portion of Klal Yisrael follows Avshalom. Follows Avshalom? At this point, David HaMelech has been on the throne for nearly 40 years, has fulfilled every promise the Torah made for a melech, has prepared the plans and the city and the place for the Beis HaMikdash, is ruling over a peaceful and prosperous economy, considered the biggest tzaddik since Moshe Rabbeinu, and people are abandoning him to support this upstart. And even now, when he walks through the shuk, you know, maybe, you know why he's hiding out? People think he doesn't deserve to be king. Who is he to come? Who is he to come against Shalom Aleich? He says, you know what? Even my neighbors, I'm a disgrace. And a fright to those who know me. People don't want to have anything to do with me. Nishkachti kemes melev, and I've become forgotten as the dead from the heart. The people that used to know that I was the anointed of Hashem, seem to have forgotten me. I've become like a vessel that is decaying. Now, few of us have ever been kings or queens of Klal Yisrael, at least as far as I know. However, the sentiments that David HaMelech is expressing here are things that people feel regardless of whether or not they've ever experienced Malchus. I've become as dead from the heart, I've become like a decaying vessel. And those who know me feel like a disgrace, or that I'm a disgrace. David HaMelech is representing here thoughts that people have. These are ideas that people have, whether or not they're hiding out in a cave, or whether or not they feel they'll never get a shidduch, or whether or not they feel that no matter how hard they try, their parnasa just doesn't seem to be what they want. It says David HaMelech, I'm like dead from the heart. I'm like a vessel that's decaying. Ki shamati dibas rabim, I've heard the slander of the multitude, migor misaviv, and the terror of all around. The hivastam yachad alai, they conspired against me. Lakachas nafshi zamamu, take my soul, they have plotted. Don's Klal Yisrael is against him, he's saying. Now really, is the entire Klal Yisrael against him? Certainly not the entire Klal Yisrael. Certainly significant portions of Klal Yisrael are against David HaMelech. Vani, but for me, David HaMelech pulls himself up and says, Vani, Alecha Batachti, but in you I've trusted, Hashem. Amarti, and I've said, Elokai Ata, you are my God. V'yadcha Itaisei, and in your hand are all of my experiences, all of my times. Hatzileni miyad oivi umei roiftai, and rescue me from the hand of my foes and my pursuers. Ha'iru panecha alavdecha, shine your face upon your servant, hoshieni b'chazdecha, and save me in your kindness. Hashem alei vayshek ikrasicha, don't let me be shamed, because I've called to you, Hashem. Evoshi rishoyim, let the rishoyim be shamed. Yid muli shol, let them be silenced all the way to the underworld, to the grave. Te'alam nasif se shakar, and let be mute the lips that lie. Hadobros al tzadik atav the gaiva vavuz, which speak about a righteous one falsehood, which say false things about a tzadik with gaiva, with arrogance or avuz, and with contempt. Marav tucha asher tzafan haliriyecha, how abundant is your goodness if you hidden for those who fear you. Ba'alta l'chosim b'ach negev b'nei adam. So David HaMelech says, how abundant is your goodness? So how abundant is your goodness means it's beyond the ability for people to understand. It's so abundant, the goodness of Hashem, that mere people cannot understand the bounty of goodness that Hashem bestows upon us. The fact that David HaMelech can say this, didn't he just get through saying, not a couple of pesukim ago, that he it was forgotten as the dead from the heart, and that he felt like a decaying vessel, and that everyone has turned against him, and he's heard the claims of his foes, and yet he says, Ma rav tucha, but your goodness is too great even for us to understand, Hashem. The soft blood, you've hidden away, l'riyacha, for those who fear, and you have even more goodness in the future, and olam haba, for those who fear you. When people want to know, what was it that made David HaMelech great? And what is it that we're supposed to be getting from David HaMelech? This is it, right here. This is the pasuk. David HaMelech is talking to us from the depths of despair. And the first thing he comes back to say, Ma rav tucha. How great is everything that Hashem does. His abundance is beyond. So David HaMelech never accomplished in his life the goal of bringing all of Klal Yisrael to the level he was on. But we said before that his goal then was to leave us the blueprint of Tehillim. And the blueprint is right here, and it says, turn left at Pasuk Kaf. It's fine to be wallowing a little bit the fact that things are difficult, as long as we're keeping in mind, Ma rav tucha. He goes on in Pasuk Kaf, Tireim b'seser panecha meruch she'ish. And shelter them in the cover of your countenance from the haughtiness of man. Don't let man's mere efforts thwart what needs to be done. Titz p'neim b'suka meirov l'shonos. And hide them in a shelter from the strife of tongues. Now he uses the word shelter, he uses a sukkah. Sukkah is the flimsiest kind of shelter there is, really. In fact, the whole reason we go out and sit in the sukkah is because it's a flimsy shelter. Despite the new beautiful panels I got last year, the sukkah is still supposed to be a relatively flimsy device. So he says, you know what, Hashem, you can protect people in the flimsiest of devices. A sukkah is good enough for you. If people are going to protect themselves, they need a house with walls and gezunta bricks. But for Hashem, listen, you can hide them in a sukkah. Baruch Hashem, ki hifli chastu li be'ir matzor. And blessed is Hashem, Baruch Hashem, he's been wondrous in his kindness to me in the city that is besieged. And remember, the Navi told him, you have to go back to Eretz Yisrael, in the city that's besieged by Shaul HaMelech. And he says, you know what? And that's a kindness that Hashem's doing for me. I, David HaMelech, says, I have no idea why this is a kindness. It seems to me I should hang out here, far away from Shaul. But it doesn't matter. Ma rav tucha, your goodness is great. And if Hashem says I should go back to Eretz Yisrael, then that's obviously the best thing. I'm not going to seek out the counsel of astrologers, and I'm not going to seek out the counsel of experts in war, and I'm not going to seek out my lawyer's advice. Hashem is the only advice I need. He says go back to Eretz Yisrael, that's all I need to know. V'ani amarti b'chavzi, and I had said in my panic, nigrati mineged einecha, I'm cut off before your eyes. But in truth, you heard the sound of my prayers when I cried out to you. So David HaMelech is admitting that there's a temptation to say, when things are bad, and a person is panicking, oi, where's my help from Hashem? But right away, he realized that Hashem heard his prayers and his tefillos when he calls out to them. David HaMelech is giving a command now. Evu es Hashem kol chasido. All the righteous people love Hashem. Emunim natzor Hashem. For Hashem will guard those people that believe in Him. U'mishalma yeser ayse gaiva. And He repays the haughtiness of He repays the haughtiness of people who act with gaiva. Chizku v'yametz levavecha. Be strong and let your hearts take courage. Kolom yachalim l'Hashem. All wait longingly for Hashem. Your hearts means both physical, whether it's physical or whether it's ruchnius, that you have courage from the fact that Hashem is going to help you. David HaMelech, in these pesukim here, runs an entire gamut. He starts off in the beginning telling us that Hashem, how much Hashem has done for him, the first few pesukim. Then he tells us, you know, all the things, let me tell you all the things that have happened to me. I've had afflictions, but But even though I had afflictions, he says the good things he's done, I never consulted anybody else. And finally, he comes and he admits that sometimes he feels despair. But right away, when he feels despair, he thinks, Ma Rav Tuvcha, how abundant is the goodness of Hashem. And we many times before have brought stories from one of my new favorite sforim from Rabbi Rubin. And he has a very cute story in here. He said that when he was a kid, and he was very sick with pneumonia, he davened to Hashem. But he had no idea what pneumonia was. So he was sure there was a monster in his room under his bed. So he davened that Hashem should make the monster go away. Now, was there a monster under his bed? Most likely not. Whenever we've checked under our kids' beds, there almost is never really a monster. And correct me if I'm wrong. Very few monsters. Want to get better. But he's doubting that the monster under the bed should go away. That's what David Mellon could say. And you know what? People have something wrong, and sometimes they even think they know what it is. You know what? This is happening to me because of this. This is happening because of this. You know what? I don't feel good because there's a monster under the bed. So the adult version of this is, you know what? Boy, we had a really bad month this month in the business because I didn't buy enough inventory last year when I had a chance to buy it at 20% off. Right? Or you know what? I really had trouble with that Taisvis. You know why I had trouble with that Taisvis? Because of the fact that I was too distracted by having to pick up the dry cleaning. People think they know why things happen, right? Or you know what? It's because my eye's hurting. I'm going to dive into Hashem that my eye will feel better so I'll be able to learn the Taisvis. Is that really why I can't learn the Taisvis? Well, maybe, maybe not. Maybe there really is a monster under the bed. But says David HaMelech, the point is, all of that is mistaken. That's all Havle Shah. That's all worthless steam and smoke and worthless vanities. Oh, I can't learn this because my eye, I'm sick because there's a monster under the bed. Fat! David HaMelech is giving a big fat here. And he's saying, you know what? People think they know, they don't know. The only thing they need to know is Ma Rav Tuvcha. Forget all the other stuff, right? And daven to Hashem. And know that Hashem is with you in Ma Rav Tuvcha. And you know what? I can't learn the Taisvis. So ask Hashem to help you learn the Taisvis. And don't figure out to be a big chacham to go and consult all the Havle Shav that it's because of this and it's because of that. If I'm going to go to the eye doctor, you know what? Ma Rav Tuvcha. Hashem help me. That's what David HaMelech said. He's sitting in the middle of a cave. He's sitting in the middle of a desert. You could easily come and say, you know what? It's because there's a monster under the bed. If only I had taken that last pass with the army instead of going through the canyon. Oh, that's what, you know what it is? I've got to go through the canyon. That's what I've got to do in order to win this war. Faz is David HaMelech. That's Havle Vashav. Ma Rav Tuvcha. Right? It doesn't matter what you think the reason is. And you know what? If you think there's a monster under the bed, so daven because there's a monster under the bed. It doesn't matter what you think as long as Ma Rav Tuvcha, as long as you're davening to Hashem. And that's the whole point of this capital, that David HaMelech, even though he was in the depths that are almost unimaginable, with the physical danger that almost no one today experiences, and ruchnius danger that almost no one today experiences. We think we're in trouble because we didn't speak with Derech Eretz to our friend at the shul. He's in trouble because he might stab a sword through the heart of the Melech Yisrael. Right? He's in a lot of ruchnius trouble over here. He's in a lot of physical trouble. Says David HaMelech, Ma Rav Tuvcha. That's what you have to know from this kapitel. Right, when we say this kapitel, to keep in mind that, okay, fine, maybe there's monsters in the bed, maybe there's not, but you know what? I'm going to daven to Hashem, and I'm going to ask Hashem to help me, Laman Shimcha. So that's his own name, right? And that's the message, I think, that David HaMelech is bringing us. The monster under the bed may or may not be there, but as long as you daven to make the monster go away, the monster will go away, whether there's really a monster or really there's not. Bezus Hashem, we should remember that and daven to all the monsters. And he said all the monsters should go away. Questions?
When I was in Eretz Yisrael, I used to see one for Levinson who said that anyone who may have an eye hara on their field should always recite Mando. This is like putting your, you know what we say,
The Batuta, the fortress that Dr. Bhatt was talking about. I couldn't have said it better myself. It's a masuda, it's a fortress, this kapitel. Right? And it's better to say fewer kapitelach and think about what you're saying. You know, sometimes I see, especially with, you know, young girls, where they say, well, you know, I need to say for Tehillim 5 times today. Okay, that's great. And you don't want to discourage that, and you don't want to be negative, because certainly that's a tremendous thing. But I want to say to them, how much of it did you think about what you were saying? Better to have said, let's say it took 1 hour or 2 hours, better to have said Lamed Aleph, right, 3 times with Kavana, than to have done the whole Sefer Tehillim and not really understood what we're talking about. And this week, you know, it was a little different. You can tell what you think, because we didn't go into as much detail on each pasuk because of the fact that there were so many pasukim. Usually I like to delve into more explanations on each particular pasuk, but I guess that'll have to vary with the length of the kapitel, so that we keep to our allotted time. We're on the businessmen davening system as opposed to the yeshiva davening system. For the yeshiva, it always starts at the same time. And when it ends, it ends. Right? And then for businessmen, davening always starts at different times, but it has to end at a specific time. So we're more on the end at a specific time model. We try and start at 8 o'clock, but we definitely end at 9 o'clock. Any other questions or observations?
No, when you daven, you know, if you daven out loud, you hear it in your heart, and it goes up. When you just go, you know, it's how you say the Mm-hmm. It's not how much you say, but to understand. And when you daven and you hear, it penetrates.
Yeah, I was in a shul the other day, morning, a couple of weeks ago, and there was someone that was ill, and after davening, they said, I think, 4 or 5 kapitelach for this person. And they said it, 90 to 100 miles an hour. I mean, you know, very, very fast. And I was thinking it would have been better for them to have spent the same 5 minutes with one kapitel than it would have been to say 5 kapitel. You know, and the Baal Tefila was starting the next pasuk before everybody had really finished the one before. And it was a very, like, pro forma, oh, there's a sick person, we have to say this kind of thing, and nobody was really... And unfortunately, a lot of times in shuls that happens. Right? It would have been much better for them to have said a kapitel and said it with a little more thought into it.
Mind doesn't wander while they're trying to say from it.
That's true. It wasn't the case in this particular shul, but it's certainly the case. In fact, that's why many Hasidic Rebbe's daven very fast Shmon Esrei, so that they can minimize distractions. But unfortunately, also in our day, Tehillim is not all that popular amongst men in terms of frequency of recital. For reasons that have at this point still eluded me, something I wish to look into, because in the times of Chazal, there was no such distinction. Because I'll talk about men saying Tehillim every day. There was no distinction, and I'm not sure exactly how that sort of came about. That might be a topic sometime to look into. Any other observations or questions?
You know, well, the only other thing I can say is that this also ties directly to our davening in the morning when we say before. That you subjugate the Yetzahara, our Yetzahara to you. We say it every day, twice a day. You know, it's twice a day.
So
So David HaMelech is davening for her right there.
Right.
Exactly
and,
that.
And when Rabbi Heller was in, mm-hmm. and there were a lot of young people there, and she said, start to talk to Hashem, mm-hmm. even if you say one, 1 sentence, but you have to you have to learn to connect. You know, he's there for you, but you have to understand where he's there, and you have to start to talk to him. And that's the same thing that I'm talking, when you start saying to him, you're talking to Hashem, but you have to start talking to him first to know that he's there.
Yeah, I remember in Yeshiva we had a teacher once, he was definitely an older fellow, and he had lived through the war. In fact, he used to tell, well, he didn't really tell it, but I told the story about him, that the Nazis in Machkram took all these people into a field and mowed them down from a helicopter. He was the only guy that got up. And because of that, he never took any money for teaching Torah the rest of his life. And I remember once in class, and I was a young feller, and perhaps a little more impertinent than I am now, he was looking over the next page of something, and he was mumbling, he was saying something, and we couldn't hear what he's saying. And we said, Rebbe, who are you talking to? Hashem. He was working out with Hashem what he's going to say on the next page. So, you know, we didn't really appreciate that as kids, because we didn't appreciate that. You know, it was lost on us at the time. But now, thinking back about it, right, that didn't seem odd to him. Right? He's trying to figure out how to explain this next thing over here to the class. So he and Hashem are working it out. Right? That's an Adam Gadol. That's a person who understands, right, what David HaMelech is saying. Hashem and I will work out how to present this next thing. Hashem and Matthew, that's, and, you know, only looking back on it can I appreciate that time. We definitely didn't appreciate it.